Hello there, wonderful listeners to Foundation Radio. It's time, once again, for another edition of the program, The Music of the Masters on FM 100. I am Christopher Fogwear, presenting the program, and at the technical controls, we've got Julius Tendom. In this edition of the program, we're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Cameroon reunification. We're going to be talking about the whole issue of reunification and showing how music can be a wonderful reunifier, not just in Cameroon, but across the world. As always, we're going to be starting with a song of worship, and we're going to be inviting Bocelli to bring us his version of the Our Father who art in heaven.
You know, when I was a boy growing up in Canada, my father, when I was about 7 years old, introduced me via record to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I thought this was the most spectacular sound I had ever heard. And it was always my dream to work with them, because I used to sing in boys' choirs. And in my mind, I thought, one day, maybe I could sing with them. The singing didn't work out, but the rest of my father's and my dream was realized just a few days ago when Andre and I traveled to Salt Lake City. And when I tell you, this was as close to a heavenly experience that I think I've ever had in my life. With the voice of Andrea Bocelli in that tabernacle, with that choir and this piece of music. It's so special. I would like you all to have a look at it, please, right now.
Thank you.
That was the golden voice of Andrea Bocelli, an Italian who has done a lot of singing in the Basilica in Rome, but who is now doing this stint at the Salt Lake City with none other than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, who believe in polygamy and who have, of course, showed that the Our Father is for everybody, every Christian. And that was done so well for us by the voice of Bocelli. We stay with choral music and with worship music as we invite Handel to bring one of his choruses from part two of his Messiah. Was one of those wonderful choruses from Handel's Messiah. Now we've put in two worship hymns. Now we can move on to our special theme of today, which is about the reunification of Cameroon. Once upon a time, Cameroon was a German colony. I don't know how much music of the Germans was played around at the time, but I know that there was a lot of plantation work to do, that Boya was their capital, and that in Boya you find fountains and old buildings that remind us of the German heritage, especially the presidency now, which used to be the prime minister's lodge. If they had to play any German anthem here at the time, it would have sounded like this.
Yeah.
up was the German anthem. Das Lied der Deutschen is the title. We played it as a memento to the times when we were a German colony, and when, if the anthem had been played here before, we might have heard it sounding just as that one did, because it has not changed. Ironically, the Germans and the British fought two bitter wars, and in the end, the German colonies were taken over by the British and the French. Before then, there was a conquest of sorts in which the Germans conquered Britain by the heart, through the heart, as we can tell in this testimony from the BBC in a program titled The Birth of British Music.
Hallelujah Chorus from Messiah, a piece which is woven into the fabric of our national life. But it was written by a German, George Frederick Handel, a brilliant yet volatile composer who came to Britain to make his fortune and wound up enriching and redefining our musical life.
Here he is, cemented into the wall in Westminster Abbey as a national icon, carved from the life and holding the manuscript of his most famous work, Messiah.
But how did a foreign composer become such a celebrity here? And what is it about his music that still captivates and fascinates us today?
Handel's capacity to write a melody which reflects emotion is brilliant. He really gets people going, you know. He can come and move you and get right into the depths of your soul and then yank you back out.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You've got to attack it.
My journey will take me back 250 years to some of the places Handel lived and worked in order to discover the man behind the music.
He was almost like, in the cultural sphere, the equivalent of the king. I mean, the king was German. Top cultural figure was German.
Handel wrote some of the greatest music of his, or I think, any age.
He took Britain as his home, and the British took him to their hearts. He is our greatest adopted musical genius, and we're proud to continue performing his music.
Handel seems to bestride the centuries as a musical conquering hero. His coronation anthem, Zadok the Priest, gives us some clues about the unique and enduring qualities of Handel's genius. Its extraordinary, slow-burning crescendo builds up to an awe-inspiring climax, evoking all the pomp and majesty of the occasion. It was written 300 years ago for the coronation of King George II and has been used at every coronation since then. Millions across the world heard the music of Handel when Elizabeth II was crowned Queen at Westminster Abbey in 1953. But Handel's fame and popularity are not just a modern phenomenon.
Few, if any, composers have been as celebrated during their lifetime as George Frederick Handel.
At the start of the 18th century, London was the fastest growing and wealthiest city in Europe. When the ambitious young keyboard virtuoso and composer arrived here in 1711, he had a master plan. He was 27 years old and in love with Italian opera. And his plan was to establish this sophisticated European art form in the United Kingdom. He announced his arrival on the London scene with Rinaldo, the first Italian opera to be composed specifically for the British stage. The rich and the fashionable flocked to the opera, drawn to its story of love in a time of war, complete with a beautiful princess, a spiteful enchantress, and a host of chivalrous knights and crusaders.
But it wasn't just the lavish orchestration or the spectacular scenic effects, which included the release into the theatre of a flock of starlings, or even his own keyboard fireworks that made this young cosmopolitan composer the talk of the town. It was his singers.
London had never seen or heard anything before like these singers. Brought over from Italy at huge expense, they were simply the best in the world. Their exotic personalities offstage attracting almost as much attention as the music they sang.
Handel was, in pop culture terms, at the top of his game. His arias read the way people listen to songs, to popular songs today, and they were as popular in his time as they are now. Lascia che io pianga is a very dramatic piece. There is a dichotomy between the dignity of the music and the sort of wallowing sadness of a young girl. You've got this beautiful, simple melody. It couldn't be more simple. About weeping for her fate, and she says it over and over again, and it does sound like somebody who can't get the words out, and Handel writes it beautifully. He actually literally cuts the phrase in two. Mia cru da sorte, like just like somebody who would be crying and is whimpering and can't get it out.
Sorry to have to cut that into two, but that was just an excerpt that was intended to illustrate to you how music can be a unifying factor between two people who have fought bitter wars, but who nonetheless can find a place in their hearts for wonderful music of the sort that was composed by Handel, who the British commentator in that BBC piece came pretty close to calling a king. Now, there is another piece of Handel's music that used to be played at the coronations of every king that has not yet come up in that piece there. That piece is titled The Crowning Trumpet Fanfare. Yeah, that was the crowning trumpet fanfare of Georg Friedrich Händel, which is the way Professor von Lohn used to call that name. He said, if he's a German, call it the way the Germans do. But earlier we listened to the BBC, and they called him Georg Friedrich Händel. It's the same composer all. Now, we just listened there to the crowning trumpet fanfare, which is played at the coronations of all the kings since Handel's days till today. Now, the Germans handed over the colonies to the French and the British. And those of us who can still remember the Empire days and who played some of these songs as marching songs in our schools, just as I did in Sasse, will remember briefly the theme titled Rule Britannia, when Britain supposedly ruled the waves and the sun supposedly never set on the British Empire because they were all around the globe. Let's listen to Rule Britannia. Yeah, rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. Of course, they were the greatest seafaring people of those days. While we were playing Rule Britannia in Sasse, we were also playing the music of a certain Charles Gounod, whom I didn't know to be a Frenchman, but whose music nonetheless was taught to us by a Scots Reverend Father, Father McCarthy. The Soldier's Choir is the product of Charles Gounod, who also composed some Ave Marias. Let's listen to the Soldier's Choir.
Yes.
That is the music of Charles Gounod, a Frenchman whose music I admire immensely. And this particular piece we used to play in the Sussex College Band in the days of the Empire, when we were still playing British music, but also playing French music, because good music knows no borders. And one of the pieces of music that was very fabulously admired during the AAA days, and by AAA, I mean Amateur Athletic Association Olympics, that took place in Bota every year. Sase was there, Ombe was there, a number of colleges were there, Elders and Fives, CDC, a number of plantation workers and athletes from across the nation came together, and it was the British themselves that were organizing and supervising the activities. And some of the music that was played throughout the day during the AAAs was music of an Austrian composer who, of course, spoke German, because I think the Austrians speak German. So let's listen to the music that used to be played during the AAA.
Thank you.
Was the first movement of Mozart's piece titled Eine kleine Nachtmusik. It is a piece that is an incidental composition for outdoor relaxation, and we used to play this. In fact, I shouldn't say we. It used to be played for the occasion that was referred to at the time as the AAA, the Amateur Athletic Association, organized by the CDC and grouping people from across the nation who came to enjoy themselves, not only by doing athletics like discus throwing, 100 yards dash, relay races, and involving colleges like Ombe Sase, I think Bali used to come in from time to time, and a number of other organizations that had young people working in their various plantations, and also dance groups that came in from all over the place, including some from Nigeria, where the Munchies, who were working in plantations, used to display wonderful dances that looked very much like the Bafia dance. And there was a lot of wonderful fanfare organized for people to enjoy themselves. And since that colonial phase went out, we have not seen anybody trying to do anything that can revitalize the cultural activities that were prevalent at the time when the colonialists were there. That's one regrettable factor, and we can look back to 50 years of almost a void. Now, we move from that piece to one that was composed by a contemporary of Handel in Britain at the time when Handel was there. So I'm just trying to let you know that it's not that Britain didn't have composers. There were composers, but they were not quite as famous as Handel. One of these guys was known as Clark, and we're going to be listening to trumpet music from the Baroque period by Clark.
Thank you.
was a piece composed by a British Baroque master. Clark is his name. It is titled Trumpet Music from the Baroque Period. We move to a piece that is played in America a lot, especially during graduations. You know, America used to be a colony of Great Britain. And so some of the British heritage was left there in the form of The Land of Hope and Glory, a composition of Lord Elgar. It is that theme that is usually played when graduates are marching down the aisle with their mortarboards on their heads, going to receive their degrees from the deans or from the presidents of the universities. Land of Hope and Glory by Sir Elgar. That hilarious music is titled Land of Hope and Glory, and it's a British composition by Sir Elgar, but it is the mainstay of graduation ceremonials in the USA, whether you're graduating from Yale, Harvard, California, UCLA, or any of the other great schools of America, Princeton, for example, Columbia. That is the music that is played as you walk down the aisle to go and pick up your diploma, to go and pick up your degree. And whenever I look at my pictures and my robes, I think of this music, and I love to have played it again today. It's a beautiful reminder. Another piece that is very famous, and that's played worldwide because it is music that is quite categorically beautiful, is that of Strauss. It's his Radetzky March. Yeah, that is the scintillating music of Johann Strauss, who is better known for his valses, but a German or an Austrian is never wrong when it comes to playing marches that are military. Now, last night, I watched the installation, should I call it, of the Cardinals by Pope Francis, and it was a wonderful occasion. And at the end, when they were marching out of the place, there was a Salve Regina, and after that, there was a Magnificat, done for us in this version of Johann Sebastian Bach, that great Lutheran who was fascinated by the music of the Magnificat. his two sons composed their versions, but today we're going to be hearing his version. But before we do it, I would like to read what the Magnificat says. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Of course, these are the declarations of the mother of Christ, Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant, and from the day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. So it's amazing how much of the scriptures Mary, the mother of Christ, had mastered in her lifetime. This is a very deep piece. And we have Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, the great Lutheran, contemporary of Martin Luther, doing it for us. That beautiful piece is one that I listened to last night as I watched television and saw the Pope naming the new cardinals, the 19 of them, some from Africa. I was very, very glad to see that. And most importantly, I was enjoying this music and that I knew I would be playing for you today in this edition of the Music of the Masters, in which we remembered some of the music that has influenced the world, played by colonialists who had a very big impact on us, the Germans, the French, and the British. We had Julius Tendong at the technical controls, and we are now about to close with the music of Bocelli, as we say goodbye to you all, and thank you very much for having listened to us on this edition of the program, The Music of the Masters, in which we had the wonderful company of the station manager, Gunu Nelson, myself, Christopher Fogwe, at the technical controls, or rather, at the presentation. Until the next edition, so long.
Sogno all'orizzonte, manca le parole. E io sì lo so che sei con me.